Public Investor 12-03894. Found in bad faith for telling truths Wall Street wants covered up. I prefer being called six-pack Sally swinging at low-hanging fruit on Wall Street. And over the course of 9 years since August 2010, after the Securities and Exchange Commission pursued me to be their investment client whistleblower, as a victim of Don J. Bennett, the hoodoo investment advisor, found guilty on all 17 counts as charged, I emerged as a voice for investment clients and a voice for the good investment advisors. Well, oh gosh, McGregor, the Wells is under attack again from investment client victims, Securities and Exchange Commission, the United States government, and media, this time for no fault of Wells's own, sorta. My sense has been for a long time, Wells is being shown the door, reminding me of the way Lehman Brothers was shown their exit door, publicly, shaming execs, answers demanded by legislators on the bench, some of whom have been in their same congressional seats for decades, with things harming investors unchanged, not getting better. If anything, as Congress passes more laws favoring Wall Street securities broker-dealer firms, the entities Wall Street works for are getting louder. Wells Fargo is not responding to media inquiries, nor should they, I believe. Everything well-intentioned as a statement Wells is releasing is being turned around against Wells. Sometimes saying nothing is more power-filled, after all, beyond Wells, who should be sued, is the Securities and Exchange Commission behind the cover-ups of bad behaviors by securities broker-dealer firms and their executives, taking crimes and criminals, the SEC does, away from courts where investor-client crimes belong, not in FINRA, dispute resolution, financial industry regulatory authority dispute resolution, which is for securities broker-dealer firms only. Feds are limited to furthering the people and actions stated by the regulatory action taken by the agency that called the feds in, explaining why CEOs of security broker-dealer firms are not named in actions the Securities and Exchange Commission brings. Why, if you're not named? Emoji pose, finger to the cheek, finger to the chin. If you're not named, then you've done nothing wrong. Hallelujah. Finally, the word's getting out. Oh, that feels so much better. It is not rocket science why the Securities and Exchange Commission has never, not ever, turned names of CEOs, chief executive officers, not ever turned over lists of persons working for the SEC's selected sacrificial lamb, why one or two accomplices are named in the pleadings the SEC names in their confirmed unconstitutional, Supreme Court says it, SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, ALJ, Administrative Law Judge, Court pleadings, up until, that is, I facilitated underpinnings to the roadblock that now has the SEC and FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, running for cover. Make that running to cover up their crimes as accomplices before, during, and after. Hear this. Crimes, Ponzi scams, security stuff other than broker-dealer firm Dudu is turned over to local law enforcement first, not taken in by the Securities and Exchange Commission and FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. There's a newest investor lawsuit, and it takes a legal stance against Wells Fargo that I agree with, alleging that Wells Fargo helped the Ponzi scammer investment company execute a $135 million Ponzi scheme, alleging the scheme depended on the knowing participation of Wells Fargo. Well, sorta, but not quite. I say this, well, sorta, but not quite, because in the matter of Don Bennett, Bradley Maskow, Bennett Group Financial Services, and JPMCC, JP Morgan Clearing Corp, I figured out what I exposed is pivotal. My claim was, as I figured out over 8.5 years of more Don Bennett victims before the FBI arrested only Ms. Bennett, only Bradley Maskow, only because those are the only two names of an office of 10 plus, including staff, contractors, and countless interns over the years. Sacrificial lambs, token blood for investment clients to howl over. When JPMCC, JP Morgan Clearing Company, was not sued, Bennett's investment client victims' only contract was signed with JPMCC, the clearinghouse, JP Morgan Clearing. I made this public. J.P. Morgan shut down J.P. Morgan Clearing Corporation, securities broker-dealer firm, and investment advisory firm, 2016, within a short time of my exposing communications with J.P. Morgan Clearing Corporation to the Securities and Exchange Commission and the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, FINRA. Then I exposed documents confirming J.P. Morgan Clearing Corp. only had an agreement with Western International, J.P. Morgan Clearing Corporation said in emails. In time, I figured out, documented that J.P. Morgan Clearing could only have a contract with Western International, securities broker-dealer firm, not with Western International Securities Investment Advisory Firm, not with Ms. Bennett and her 10-plus. It gets even better. Western International Securities never had a contract with Ms. Bennett, CEO, Chief Executive Officer of Bennett Group Financial Services, as alleged in Ms. Bennett's Bennett Group Financial Services email signatures to her clients, and in Western International Securities hard copy letters and emails to me. Western International Securities had an independent contract with a Bennett Financial Group. A Bennett Financial Group. None with Bennett Group Financial Services. J.P. Morgan had no legal ability to clear Ms. Bennett's client cash ever, yet J.P. Morgan did so for years. I figured this out. Yeah, you guessed it. I didn't make friends in J.P. Morgan Clearing Corporation, or in FINRA, or in the Securities and Exchange Commission. Yep, you guessed it. I threatened the involved lawyers across the country who knew, who know each time they pull victims into FINRA, each victim they pull into the financial industry regulatory authority arbitration forums was taken in there to cover crimes up. Remember, FINRA, like the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, is for securities broker dealer firms only. And then there is that things that the Supreme Court learned from my papers. Patience. We will talk in time. Cook County's office, the United States District Court, Northern District of Illinois, Eastern Division Civil Action Number 18-CV-5587 against Equity Build Incorporated, Equity Build Finance LLC, formerly known as Hard Money Company, is a Delaware limited liability company wholly owned by Equity Build. Pacer.gov names Kevin Duff as undetermined on the filing. Cause of action 15:77 and nature of suit securities and commodities. Presiding Judge John Z. Lee. Hard Money Company LLC, nor others of Cohen family's business interests are named, another intentional ploy by the Securities and Exchange Commission, who pulled the Cohen Ponzi scammers away from law enforcement into the SEC ALJ Administrative Law Judge courts, the Supremes say is unconstitutional, that I say is cover-up, accessory to a crime, before, during, or after. Reading that a federal court judge banned the Cohens from soliciting new investors while the investor litigation is underway nailed to me to confirm the Securities and Exchange Commission defied SCOTUS's, the Supreme Court of the United States, opinions emerging from this court, this Supreme bench that we have at this time. Opinions confirming the Securities and Exchange Commission is breaking laws Congress writes. No, but yes. Like with the Don Bennett case, the model of Wall Street wrongs that I uncover, still, the Securities and Exchange Commission grabbed, hung on to promissory notes, using that to be the inroad for the Securities and Exchange Commission's fake trial. Administrative Law Court trial to distract from the Securities and Exchange Commission getting caught, covering up Don Bennett's 8.5 years of more victims en route to being arrested by the FBI, by the Federal Bureau of Investigation in 2017. Two SEC actions, not one, but two. The first filed in 2016, the second filed in 2017. FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, filed FINRA's expedited OHO hearing in 2015, all of whom name papers, dates I gave them, starting back with papers I gave the SEC in 2010. Interesting to note, in these days of analytics, what popped up alongside the story as it crossed my screen, headline, Wells Fargo robbed in Pleasanton. Amazing how analytics calls Wall Street fraud for what Wall Street fraud is, albeit with email reading analytics calling out what Wall Street refuses to say. Fraud, 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 fraud. The words that leapt off the page at me, reading the pleadings in the Cohen matter, were Securities and Exchange Commission investigation. The SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, cannot do an investigation. The Securities and Exchange Commission cannot. The Securities and Exchange Commission has nada law enforcement investigative authority. Nada law enforcement engagement with non-securities broker-dealer firms at all. Period. I've been this route before. Oh, I know the SEC tricks. I out the SEC tricks. I stop Securities and Exchange Commission tricks. Tricks the SEC uses for investors to believe the Securities and Exchange Commission is holding an investigation, that those words mean anything. That the Securities and Exchange Commission conducting an investigation has any weight, any merit, benefiting investment client victims. No, none at all. Securities and Exchange Commission investigations benefit securities broker-dealer firms' crime cover-up. The Securities and Exchange Commission Chicago attorneys pleading the regulator's case in the Cohen matter are Benjamin J. Hanauer, Ariella O. Gardy, and Timothy J. Stockwell. Regulatory employees are not above the law. Regulatory employees are accountable to the same law Main Street is accountable to. Multiple lawsuits, the investor lawsuit, the Securities and Exchange Commission filings, the U.S. attorney lawsuit, have been filed against a New Yorker and a Floridian, dad and son. Dad lives in Naples, Florida. Son lives in New York City. Jerome Cohen, Sean Cohen. The first thing I did was to check them out on the Securities and Exchange Commission's IAPD, Investment Advisor Public Disclosure pages, and FINRA BrokerCheck to see if either were listed. Like I said, no oversight. The U.S. Attorney pleading state, number 10, venue is proper in this court pursuant to Section 27 of the Exchange Act, 15 U.S.C. 78AA. Many of the acts, practices, and courses of business constituting the violations alleged herein have occurred within the Northern District of Illinois. Acts also related to Florida, Delaware, Louisiana, New York. Delaware's U.S. attorneys have not brought action yet. Florida's U.S. attorneys have brought no action yet. And I repeat, no action yet. Louisiana's U.S. attorneys have brought no action yet. And New York's U.S. attorneys have brought no action yet. And I repeat, no action yet. Securities are oversight state to state. Under the UCC, the Uniform Commercial Code, securities are not federal oversight. Criminals are not oversight unless federal laws have been broken. Creditors listed in the filings include Federal National Mortgage Association, Wilmington Trust, National Association as trustee for the registered holders of Wells Fargo Commercial Mortgage Trust, Commercial Mortgage Pass-Through Certificates, Blue Bridge Partners, Wilmington Trust, again, as trustee for the benefit of registered holders of UBS Commercial Mortgage Trust, Commercial Mortgage Pass-Through Certificates, the Federal National Mortgage Association, Liberty EBCP LLC, Bloomfield Capital Partners, Midland Loan Services, a division of PNC Bank, Cree Capital Ventures, LLC, Thoroughfare Asset Texas-based lending REIT fund, Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation concerning receivership assets. The U.S. government action clearly states their plaintiff is the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission. The SEC should not be the plaintiff. The SEC cannot be the plaintiff. The SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, has no standing. Congress never gave the Securities and Exchange Commission authority to engage with investment client victims, investment advisors, and anything not security broker-dealer firms and advisory firms of larger than $25 million AUM, assets under management. Promissory notes is what gave this SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, entry to steal this case from the DOJ, the Department of Justice, from law enforcement, which is what the Securities and Exchange Commission lawyers, pretending to be investigators, are looking for, ins to steal. A lot like The Voice, where the judges, Blake, Kelly, John, and Adam, are always skulking, looking for ways to take assets away from the other's team. Remember, the Securities and Exchange Commission must shape the Securities and Exchange Commission case to match laws Congress wrote for overseeing the securities broker-dealer firm-only business. Oh, I saw this same steal in the Don Bennett matter. Bennett sold 9-month promissory notes. Bennett's lawyers advised Bennett promissory notes can only last 9 months before the promissory notes are considered securities. So she, Don, rolled over or alleged to Bennett's victims their promissory note rolled over at 9 months before that investment client could stop Bennett, Maskow, John Khoury, and others working in Bennett's office. Confirmed in USA versus Don Bennett trial pleadings. In the matter of Cohn's and Equity Build, Jerome Cohn signed the notes and mortgages on behalf of Equity Build or its affiliates. Sean Cohn signed the notes on behalf of Equity Build Finance. Oh, I've seen this before, where two people working in the same office claim to take on different fiduciary roles with no conflict of interest. Conflict of interest. Defendants, the Cohens, had begun offering and selling private mortgage promissory notes to investors, terms ranging from 6 to 24 months. The borrower, Equity Build. The notes describe the investors as lender. Notes were secured, allegedly, by a fractional interest in a mortgage in the identified property. At the end of the note's terms, defendants allegedly offered investors the option of getting back their principal at the end of their term or rolling the principal into a new note. Don Bennett did this too. Don's investors did not manage to get money back for one reason or another. In the Bennett matter, the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, showed up on doorsteps of victims, letting the investment client know their money was gone. The Cohens, well, they had their investment client victims sign investment forms assigning to Equity Build Finance, the collateral agent, all of the investment client victims' rights and powers under the notes and mortgages, or in some case, a third-party purchaser at the discretion of Equity Build Finance Sean Cohen's company. So now you understand why and how you see so many familiar-like lawsuits brought showing the Securities and Exchange Commission as plaintiff and the U.S. government as the lawyer for the government. The Securities and Exchange Commission is seeking only $5 million. The Securities and Exchange Commission said the Cohens each got $1.5 million, give or take, through the investment scheme. The Securities and Exchange Commission claimed in a court filing cited by the plaintiffs, the SEC, in their lawsuit. The SEC is not a court. I already took care of that with the SCOTUS Supreme Court opinions on Lucia versus SEC, New Prime versus Lewis, Shine versus Archer, and more decisions to come, I bet you. The SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, ALJ courts, administrative law judge courts are unconstitutional. Crimes go to cops. Crimes go to the Department of Justice. Crimes have not been. Crimes have been grabbed by the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC. Why? To cover up crimes and exposures of security broker dealer firms. The U.S. Attorney pleadings state defendants hid from investors that they skimmed 15% to 30% off each investment by taking undisclosed fees. In many cases, they did this by telling the investors that the properties being purchased cost substantially more than what defendants actually paid for them. This meant that investors were not only overcharged, but the real estate supposedly securing their investments was worth much less than what defendants told investors, that defendants sustained heavy losses, that properties they pitched to investors failed to earn anywhere near enough to pay the promised double-digit returns. In the Don Bennett matter, FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, said must go into FINRA arbitration with no mention ever made to me of court by either FINRA, by my lawyer telling me. But in that matter, the claim, as it can only be called in FINRA's arbitration, states clearly commissions were taken when a fee advisor has been hired. This fact was confirmed in the testimony of Western International Securities co-owner Bradley Kaiser in USA versus Don Bennett. I told the truth in my FINRA arbitration. FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, and the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, coordinated an arbitral decision to say I did not, to say I was in bad faith. I told the truth 8.5 years of more victims earlier. Better yet, in the hands of the Securities and Exchange Commission and FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, and the District of Columbia Securities Regulator, the Department of Insurance, Securities, and Banking, is the documentation from me that Don Bennett was skimming money off my alleged investments. And alleged, it was a Ponzi scheme. Statement papers that J.P. Morgan Clearing Corporation prepared stated dollars and cents valuations for ETFs and stocks that I learned much later did not match those valuations on Wall Street that day, that time, that year. The Securities and Exchange Commission knew, said nothing in Securities and Exchange Commission filings that the SEC has no authority even calling pleadings. The Securities and Exchange Commission is not a legitimate court. The Securities and Exchange Commission, ALJ Court, Administrative Law Court, is a cover-up, a con, confirmed by the SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States, recently released opinions. Defendant Cohen's investment program, as was Don Bennett's, was a Ponzi scheme. Investors were paid with money raised from unwitting new investors solicited with offers of safe investments and outside returns of 15% to 30%. The U.S. Attorney pleading state. Number five, defendants later changed their business model by offering investments in pooled investment funds, again promising double-digit returns generated by income-producing real estate. Number six, defendants forced earlier investors to restructure their investments by pushing back the time frames for repayment, swapping investors' supposedly secured investments for new unsecured instruments, and by transferring title of the properties purportedly securing the investments into special purpose entities owned by defendant Jerome Cohen. Don Bennett's Ponzi scheme spin was to call clients, telling them all the money the investment client lost with Don while the market was down could be recouped with her new tech sportswear company, and she was calling them first. Sounding Bernard Madoff-y, eh? On the brink of their scheme collapsing, defendants recently started coming clean about their financial distress and inability to repay investors through revenue-producing real estate. The Cohens' Ponzi had continued, like the Securities and Exchange Commission allowed Don Bennett's scam to continue, albeit with Bennett for 8.5 years of more victims, albeit with Madoff for 50-plus years of more victims. Government pleadings tell the usual story, and I do mean usual. Same crime, same playbook, similar tools criminal ne'er-do-wells rely on. What largely shifts crime to crime are the victims taken in by fraudsters few, even the experienced, do not seem to spot, cannot spot. These included Equity Build's website, the pleading state, emails to prospective investors, a call center, and salespeople, in-person presentations, social media and Google advertising, investors' promotional booklets referred to as white papers, salespeople defendants used to solicit investors received commissions based on the amount of investments they obtained, touted the notes as low-risk investments that were secured by real estate. Remember earlier I named states? I said, did nothing yet? Well, okay, states. Okay, local law. Okay, local law enforcement, do your jobs. The government pleadings allege the Cohens, father and son, told their salespeople to bring in at least $50,000 in new investments each day, describing Equity Build's three guarantees that included compensate investors for any deficiencies in the real estate operating income and declines in property values. The Securities and Exchange Commission does not register Securities and Exchange Administrative Law Judge Court opinions. No. Orders and rulings, remember, are only from courts. Supreme Court says ALJ courts are not courts. Administrative law judge courts do not operate under laws courts are mandated to operate under. The Securities and Exchange Commission is a regulator, an agency that is all bark, not bite. The agency is like a pit bull in a chihuahua body. It thinks it is more than what it is. The SEC ALJ courts, administrative law judge court, does not register awards or decisions with courts. The SEC cannot. A fine, not a court order. The Securities and Exchange Commission is not part of the judicial system. The SEC ALJ courts, administrative law court opinion is not a court order either. The SEC cannot enforce anything. The SEC has no law enforcement authority. But let's do this. Let's do some math. One victim group, $565,000 is claimed. Another victim group is claiming $340,000 in losses. A third group is claiming $1.7 million in losses, equals $2,615,000 for three victims. Now, there are more than 900 investors, so multiply the $2,615,000 times 900 investors, unimaginable. Unreported to police, people destitute, not reported to police, crime scenes messed with, not reported to police, justice obstructed. Just like with Madoff. 50 years times victims. Just like with Don Bennett, 1,200 victims, at least stated so in my arbitration under oath. Oh, wait. If it's a fake court, the SEC ALJ court, then oh, we will talk. The Securities Exchange Commission ALJ administrative law judge fined only $5 million. 900 victims? Follow the money. Don Bennett fined $4.4 million. One victim alone that testified in the hearing, $17.6 million. So here's the real crime gutbuster. The Securities and Exchange Commission tampered with the crime scene. Law enforcement was not called, and the Securities and Exchange Commission obstructed justice intentionally without calling in law enforcement. Enforcement is not law enforcement. Local law enforcement dominates, and the order of addressing crime is local law enforcement first. Local law enforcement evaluates the scene, makes a report. Local law enforcement calls in affiliate agencies with oversight, mail, tax, etc. So involved agencies coordinate entry into the scene as we witnessed take place on TV news reporting on the Philadelphia synagogue shooter tragedy. Element of surprise from coordinated planning. The Securities and Exchange Commission is not cops. The Securities and Exchange Commission mislead, intentionally deceives, calling itself enforcement. The Securities and Exchange Commission left the Ponzi scam door wide open for the Cohens to continue their crime, for Madoff to continue his crimes, for Bennett to continue her crimes. Rather, the Securities Exchange Commission did here, as the SEC does in countless unknown other matters the Securities Exchange Commission investigates, while the criminals keep up business as usual until, pulling in more victims, more money, as with the Don Bennett matter, Don Bennett got caught violating a federal law in a federal bank. Similarly to what the Securities and Exchange Commission intentionally mishandling the Don Bennett matter so as the Cohen's father and son violated federal law in a federal bank. Mishandling? This is what nice people say, thinking this is accidental. Oh, not at all. The Security and Exchange Commission intentionally mishandles crimes to protect SEC oversight securities broker-dealer firms, the entities, the cartel conning investment clients. In this specific legal action against Wells Fargo, Jerome Cohen, 63, and son Sean, 39, ran a Florida-registered business, father and son investment firm Equity Build. Now, you can call anything anything. You can put lipstick on a pig, as Sarah Palin said, but it's still a pig. Equity Build has offices in Chicago, and Equity Build raised at least $135 million for more than 900 investors, give or take. Think back on that number, $5 million, the fine. The lead plaintiff within the investor case lawsuit filed in San Francisco United States District Court docket, Annie Chang from Southern California, claimed Chang wired $340,000 in investments to Equity Build's Wells Fargo accounts, as did other investment client victims, including a household funding automobile from Louisiana. It invested $565,000. Two Southern California household funding automobiles, Tiger Chang Investments and Asians Investing in Actual Property, $1.7 million. Talk about investment clients being gang scammed. If I read right, householding funding automobile seems to be advance money the same day, in most cases, a unique source that understands your needs. It's not actually a lawsuit loan at all, but a cash advance given against a pending lawsuit settlement. Lawsuit funding helps victims pay household bills and other expenses until resolution of the claim, if I am correct. Pleading state corporations arranged by households to carry and handle funds. The plaintiffs, the Securities and Exchange Commission, say they are seeking to bring into the lawsuit hundreds of other purported investors with the total amount of money at issue exceeding $5 million. But of course, more money into the Securities and Exchange Commission slush fund. Oh yeah. The SEC, IVP, Securities and Exchange Commission Investor Protection Fund, is supposed to pay out awards to whistleblowers. Yes, but no, we will talk. The SEC slush fund is supposed to pay back money to investment client victims. Not quite. We will talk. The civil action begins. Complaint. Plaintiff, U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, alleges as follows. The Securities and Exchange Commission brings this action to halt an ongoing Ponzi scheme since at least 2010. Defendants Jerome and Sean Cohen, through their companies, defendants Equity Build Incorporated and Equity Build Finance LLC, don't hear that other name of theirs. And continuing, they have raised at least $135 million for more than 900 investors. Defendants raised these funds by falsely promising investors safe investments, secured by income-producing real estate that generated returns of 12% to 20% from safe investments secured by income-producing real estate. What is it called when a regulatory agency falsely presents itself as working for the investor? The Securities and Exchange Commission said the Cohens took undisclosed fees, skimming 15 to 30% off each investment. Well, most of the properties involved, the SEC said, were in Chicago's South Side underdeveloped areas. Same with the Bennett AO. The SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, wrote, could only pay earlier investors by raising funds from unwitting new investors. The Cohens, Bennett, Madoff pitched hot air. The Cohens and their team were running a Ponzi scheme. The Cohens' collateral real estate, supposedly securing their investments, was worth much less than what the Cohens told investors. Investors were overcharged. Investment client victims bought hook, line, and sinker land for far less than paid for. You know, I found two Jerome Cohens on FINRA BrokerCheck. I found a Sean A. Cohen on the SEC's IADP page. None were connected to Florida or New York or even Chicago. I am searching for a Jerome H. Cohen and a Sean D. Cohen as named. I chortled. Ka-ching! Oops! The Securities and Exchange Commission did it again. Took custody of yet another crime the Securities and Exchange Commission has no oversight of. No securities are involved. No security broker-dealer firms are involved. So, like Kathy Lee and Hoda say, what was the Securities and Exchange Commission doing, more so since Ponzi scams and schemers are oversight of law enforcement, oversight of the Department of Justice? The lawsuit that was filed states Wells Fargo knowingly helped Ponzi scheme. Did it? Emoji thinking pose? Well, sorta, but not. The investor's claim states the father and son raked in millions with bank's aid. Well, sorta, but not. The Securities and Exchange Commission knows that. I taught the Securities and Exchange Commission this lesson, and then again, and again, and again. SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States, decisions in Lucia versus SEC, New Prime versus Lewis, Shine versus Archer, and others. Something about the Securities and Exchange Commission makes them think, as the expression goes, that their cowpucky doesn't stink, that the Securities and Exchange Commission won't get caught, won't get held accountable. In time, slowly, change here for a while now is continuing forward. I see to that. Remember, the Securities and Exchange Commission asked me to be their whistleblower 2010 in the matter of Don Bennett, the Hoodoo investment advisor. I got everything right. 8.5 years as more victims were adding up. It was not the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, but the Federal Bureau of Investigation that arrested Don, took Don Bennett off the streets, locked up in jail since and still. And wouldn't you know it? In jail, Bennett kept her Ponzi scam going. We heard it. Yep. Prisons record phone calls. Duh. It was trippy. It was insane to listen to. It was insane to hear. Beyond all that, more so is the further egregiousness of the Securities and Exchange Commission in this Wells litigation is that FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, where crimes are wrongly, intentionally taken, were never approved by Congress, even for securities broker-dealer firms, let alone in FINRA, a forum with which to deceive investment client victims and investment advisors fraudulently induced into silence against their victimizers, their financial abusers. That's called witness tampering. I shared those documents too. While Wells Fargo's series of scandals included opening allegedly to meet sales targets' fake accounts, well, that colors a potential jury's opinion of Wells brought into the suit by lawyers looking for deep pockets, the suit has not gone far enough or even in the right direction. The lawsuit claimed Wells Fargo had precise data that it held fiduciary funds in its accounts and knew that these funds have been actively being misused. Well, 50 cents won't get you on the subway anymore. I made public J.P. Morgan papers showing the Bennett Western statements, stated under oath that J.P. Morgan provided, that these statements were faked. The lawsuit says Wells Fargo aided inside of the fraud by financing the Curiosity funds owed to different traders with new traders' cash, relatively than with the revenue from actual properties that was purported to help these returns. The lawsuit fails to name the creditors who gave loans. In the Don Bennett matter, creditors complicit in funding the fraudster with loans testified, but were not held accountable even after admitting to inconsistencies that should have disqualified the loan. Creditors in the Anna Delvey matter state the creditors knew, suspected something was not right, but gave money. The investor's lawsuit in the Wells matter claims Wells Fargo had actual knowledge that it held fiduciary funds in its account and knew that those funds were actively being misused, that Wells Fargo was financing the interest payments owed to other investors with new investors' money rather than with the income from real estate properties that was supposed to support those returns. Oh, hell, if it was me as the judge, I would stop the case and draw those creditors in and name them as defendants. Don Bennett and Bradley Maskow were selling the same stuff to their multiple investment client victims. Bennett Group Financial Services seemed to be selling the same stocks over and over. I gave the Securities and Exchange Commission the papers. Don Bennett's pitch failed to earn anything. Don Bennett and her team were running a Ponzi scheme. Bennett's collateral to high-end investors, Chinese art, supposedly securing the high-end investors' investments, was overpromised repeatedly to multiple victims, even to former lover, collaborator Timothy Augustin and Augustin's current spouse. As filed in Montgomery court archives, Augustin lived at one crime site for a while with Bennett. Lawyers lack balls to sue all the entities, as more than one lawyer told me. They will not sue the forums in which they make their livings. Can you believe that a lawyer would actually admit to me, more so after I tell them I'm a whistleblower who goes public on everything that harms investors because I tell Wall Street all the time these crimes must stop. These crimes will stop. These crimes are stopping. I am making sure of that one disclosure at a time. In the Don Bennett matter, Western International Securities and J.P. Morgan knew. FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, knew. The Securities and Exchange Commission knew, as did the lenders suspect, as we learned during trial. In the Bernard Madoff matter, the Securities and Exchange Commission knew 50 plus years back before Bernie turned himself into law enforcement. The Securities and Exchange Commission knew about Cohen's crimes but did not call cops, did not call law enforcement. Why is it the investment client victims are the last to know when investment clients should be the first to know? Those who do not tell, do not share, do not expose, like the Securities and Exchange Commission employees and FINRA employees? I hear spots keep opening up in prisons these days. So be good, share, be back. Please visit our website, www.centerforcopyrightintegrity, and www.thewallstreetwhistleblowers.com. Please LinkedIn. And everyone knows at least one other person a victim of Wall Street crime. We can lift this matter together into politics' forefront, where it will be for the next election cycle. You work too hard for someone you thought was a friend to live the life you never dreamed of, off your time invested and your dime earned. So share our podcast. Share your papers. I want to see them. The arbitrators, the lawyers, the agreement you signed. You have nothing to fear. Wall Street has everything to fear. So, until next time.